has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you the only one on?
Yes, I think so, but I just got on.
Well, that's true for both of us.
Right.
Martha.
Good morning.
Morning.
Today we will be studying the third Aliyah for Parashat Ki Tetzah. And after two very long parashiot, it's quite short. It begins at Exodus chapter 33, verse 12, and it completes at verse 16. This is a total of five verses. And we know the number five connects to the five worlds, as well as one of the ways of understanding the Sephirot being the level of five, Keter, Chachma, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut. We will start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kudsha Barichu, Ishkinte, Bidhilu, Urchimu, Uthilu, Uthilu, Urchimu, Liakta, L'shem Yudhe, Bavate.
Has joined.
Stok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Elohinu aleinu maasei yadenu kolonei aleinu maasei yadenu kolonehu. Verse 12. Vayomer Moshe.
Has joined.
We have completed the Hebrew reading. can get my computer to function well enough to read the English. Verse 12 of chapter 33. Moses said to Hashem, "Look, you say to me, 'Bring this people up,' but you have not informed me whom you will send with me. And you said, 'I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my eyes.'" Moses is making statements that I don't quite remember when. I mean, I'm familiar with both of these phrases, but I don't remember the context. And I think the context here is important. It's essentially Moses talking to Hashem after the golden calf event. And he's trying to talk Hashem down from destroying the children of Israel. But this, "You have not informed me whom you will send with me." That is, it's not a question I understand. It seems to be difficult. All of the children of Israel is who he will send. He's supposed to bring all of the children of Israel to a higher level. That's what the meaning of "bring this people up" is. But is he saying that only certain people within the children of Israel will arrive at this higher level? It's somewhat confusing to me. But much of the Torah is confusing to me.
Has joined.
Verse 13. "And now, if I have indeed found favor in your eyes, pray let me know your ways, so that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your eyes, and consider that this nation is your people." It seems to me this has a lot more words than are necessary to get across the idea. This phrase, "if I have indeed found favor in your eyes," why not just say, "you have approved my actions"? What is the spiritual information being presented in this phrase? I'm asking the question. I don't have an answer as of yet. But again, it's understanding Moses is trying to prevent the destruction of the children of Israel. And when it comes to Tzaddikim, there is always this evaluation by the sages where they say Noah was righteous and Abraham was righteous and Moses is righteous. And how do we understand the differences in their righteousness? Noah did not try to save the people of his generation. He just followed Hashem's instructions. But in the Zohar, in various places, we have learned that there was a justification for Noah not trying to save the generation, because the generation of the flood is considered the Erev Rav, the root soul of the Erev Rav souls, and that therefore they were evil and there was no justification to save them. Abraham saved, or tried to save, Sodom and Amorah. Lot was saved in the merit of Abraham because of who Abraham is, but part of who he is that while being righteous, he also tried to help and save the children, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And now here we have this discussion of Moses trying to save the children of Israel and refusing to be rewarded by having a whole nation come from him. Perhaps this is all the concept of finding favor in Hashem's eyes. Verse 14. So he said, my presence will go, and I will give you rest. Now, the he is not Moshe, it's Hashem. My presence will go, meaning this communication is going to come to an end and give you rest. I will give you the hormonal balance not to be upset when I destroy the children of Israel. That's my interpretation of this verse. And he said to him, if your presence does not go with the children of Israel, is implied, do not take us up from here. Do not let us travel on if you send an angel and don't come yourself. Verse 16. For how then will it be known that I have found favor in your eyes, I and your people? Is it not in that you will go with us? Then I and your people will be distinguished from every other nation on the face of the earth. Moses is saying, if we go up from here, if we move on, and you don't accompany us, you really haven't forgiven us. It's not complete forgiveness. This is the argument that Moses is presenting to Hashem in order to have him change the decrees that he has said in the second Aliyah. And remember, the second Aliyah represents judgment, because of Givurah represents judgment, and Din, which is the Hebrew word for judgment. Whereas this third Aliyah is representing balance point, representing Tiferet. And all of this is helping us to truly understand the meanings of these words in these verses. Does anyone have any questions? This is the first of the 3 days of this week that we have time to look again at the Perek Shirah. So we are on page 12. And I have mentioned that I'd like to do at least 3 verses because I think they're all related. So the second paragraph on page 12, I believe it's the 7th paragraph in chapter 5. Pered Omer Yoducha Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo Kamalke Aretz Kishamu Imre Picha. This is a verse from Tehillim, from Psalms. The mule is saying, All the kings of the earth shall acknowledge you, God, for they have heard the sayings of your mouth. What is the essence of a mule? One of its traits is stubbornness. This verse is praising God for giving wisdom from his in sayings in the various proverbs, in the various verses in the Torah that provide wisdom, although every verse in the Torah has wisdom. But the mule, by saying this, that the kings of the earth, the highest people, the most important people, have learned your words of wisdom. Is this a true statement? For the most part, yes, because someone does not rise to a level of leadership, which is what a king represents, without having life experiences of how to deal with other people. And that's the essence of wisdom. The eighth paragraph, or the third on page 12, Chamor omer lecha Adonai Yohewahe Adanu yo Yohahe dawanu heyo Hag dukedula Behag bura Behateferet Behanetzach Wehahod Ki kol b'shamayim uvaretz lecha Adonai Yohewahe Adanu yo Yohahe dawanu heyo Chamam lacha v'hamidnash se lekol erosh. This is a verse from Chronicles. Now, Chronicles, people do not understand Chronicles, and I'm not saying I understand Chronicles, but the information that's provided in Chronicles is not prophecy, but it fills in many gaps. It relates to many things. It fills in the gaps in the timeline. It gives additional information. It calls people by different names. It's just a completion of information that's needed that isn't said elsewhere. But that's what the Book of Chronicles represents. It's higher than Midrash, but it's somewhat similar. The translation of this paragraph, the donkey is saying, yours, Hashem, is the greatness and the might and the splendor and the victory and the glory. Do you recognize that this is the Sephirot? Greatness is the word Gedulah. And Gedulah was the old name for Chesed. When I say old name, it was the name used in the earlier generations. Somewhere along the line, it got changed to Chesed. Why, I do not know. But greatness is Gedulah. Mighty is Hagevurah. Tiferet is splendor. Victory is Netzach. And glory is Hod. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Sephirot. goes on to say, for everything in the heavens and earth, implied is yours. Everything belongs to Hashem. And it's all related to the consciousness levels of the five Sephirot. Yours, Hashem, is the kingship, which is Malchut, and the exaltation overall, which is a way of unifying Zerantin and Malchut. Now, why is that phrase, that praise, that verse being used for the donkey? And the answer is, the word chamor means donkey. It also means physicality. So the donkey is expressing a verse that unifies everything in the universe. Because physicality is actually a purpose of creation. But people don't understand that. We're supposed to be on a spiritual path, and spirituality is more important than physicality. But from Hashem's point of view, he is totally potential. And manifestation is his goal.
Has joined.
Now, obviously, Hashem can manifest his potential. He doesn't need people to do that. He doesn't need the planets and the stars to do that. But they represent Hashem manifesting what is his potential. Does Hashem have potential that isn't manifested? The answer is no. That's why physicality is the goal. Because every aspect of light, every aspect of the fulfillment of desires, Hashem wants to manifest so that his creations can have pleasure from those things being manifested. The ninth paragraph. Shor Omer Az Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael Et Hashira La'azot Va'adonai Adanu yo, yo aheda wanu heyo, wa yomru le mor, ashira la adonai, yo he wahe adanu yo, yo aheda wanu heyo, ki gao ka. This is a verse from Shmot, from Exodus. It's from the Song of the Sea. It's the first verse of the Song of the Sea. The ox is saying, then Moshe and the children of Israel sang this song to Hashem. And they said, I shall sing to Hashem, for he has triumphed. He has thrown the horse and its rider into the sea. Actually, the first two words of the verse, the first two words in the Song of the Sea is Az Yashir. Az means then we'll sing. And this is the issue Because the verse is saying the translation here, and most translations you read, it says, then Moshe and the children of Israel sang in past tense. But the song is to be sung in the future. The languages will sing. And what are they praising Hashem with? That the horse and its rider was thrown into the sea. Who is the horse and the rider? It's Pharaoh, who was thrown into the sea, but then not die. He's the only one who did not die. He washed up on the shore so that he could proclaim the righteousness of Hashem, the holiness of Hashem, that he had been wrong. And that is a form of teshuvah. So Pharaoh does teshuvah. The children of Israel are praising that transformation. And the ox is representing this transformation. It's representing this consciousness by you singing this praise to Hashem. And why did I want to discuss these three different paragraphs? What is a mule? A mule is a cross between a horse and a donkey. A mule is unable to have children. You can only create mules by duplicating the crossing of the two species. The donkey represents physicality, as I said, which means it represents malchut. The ox represents either bina, but or divurah. It represents the left column. The horse represents the right column within this frame of these type of animals. And the first verse that we did earlier, we didn't do today, that first verse is the horse. So you see these four paragraphs are all relating to this frame of reference, however you want to describe it. But it's relating to the Sephirot. It's relating to the columns of the Tree of Life. And it's representing the four levels of Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, and Malchut. Does anyone have any questions? While you're unmuting yourself, we have three more classes today. Our 11 o'clock class is continuing our study of the Sefer Yehoshua, this book of Joshua. At 4:30 West Coast time, we will have a deep Zohar class. And this evening at the 7 o'clock class, the late class, we will have a class on the Tikkuni Zohar, which is the highest level of the Zohar, and it has been a few months since we've had that class, so it should be somewhat unusual. I don't know for sure because I haven't really read it recently. Does anyone have any questions? Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful
Shalom
day.
Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello. Shalom Gadol.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.